misconception that they're already worthwhile. Well, without Christ, you're not worth anything. Amen. Amen. And any value you have, it's in Christ. So I want to talk to you this morning a little while about the sunshine and the rain. And I want to illustrate that from a couple of different men in the Bible. And I've chosen some men that everybody ought to know their life story. If you've been saved very long at all, if you've ever read your Bible at all, if you've ever listened to any preaching at all, you will know basically the history of these men. And I did that so that everybody can see that even the most blessed of all God's saints experienced the sunshine and the rain. So why do you do that? Because we get overly excited in the sunshine. We get overly excited on the mountaintop and often make a fool out of ourselves and think that God loves us because He's done this or that and we've got this great blessing, we're on the mountaintop or the sun is shining on our life. And then when the rain comes or we're in the valley, we think God doesn't love us. And we begin to despair, and folks get despondent, and they quit serving God. When tragedy or things they don't understand, things they didn't anticipate, things they don't like come into their life, they think God's been unfair and unjust, and before you know it, they've bailed out, and they're not in church anymore, and they're not serving God anymore. Listen, it's just the rain. Amen. It's just the rain. And the rain's not going to stick around forever. Amen. And so let me see if I can illustrate that for you, and then we'll try and draw some conclusions from the illustrations. I was listening to the radio a while back, and they've got, I think it's John Hancock, and that's the worst radio talk show host in America, is John Hancock. He's the most ill-informed, the most ignorant, the most biased, and the most inarticulate of all the radio talk show hosts. But he does an advertisement for, I think it's Kim Lawn or one of those people. And he's talking about getting his grass and all treated, his lawn treated in the wintertime, early spring, to deal with the stress of winter on the grass. There's another lady that works for some of those gardening shows, comes on Sunday morning or Saturday morning. I listen to her sometimes going to play golf. And she's talking about buying certain kind of fertilizer and stuff to treat your lawn and your shrubs and stuff with for pre-emergence. That means to kill the dandelions and the weeds and the Johnson grass before they get their heads up out of the ground. And they've got all this fancy vocabulary. And you get a degree now in how to throw 777 or 10-10-10 on, you know. But the idea is they're trying to grow a shrub or a lawn to perfection without weeds, without Johnson grass, without dandelions, without crabgrass. They want it to just be perfect. Life's not perfect. Amen. 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 Now, maybe that'll work on your lawn. I don't know. But it doesn't work in life. Amen. Boy, you can say, preacher, I got it made. Everything is going my way. Well, just give it a while and it won't. Just settle down. Just settle down. Trouble's on the way. A fellow said one time, you're either in a storm, just came out of a storm, or headed in a storm. But storms are coming, amen? And I guarantee if you live and breathe, walk and talk, sing and shout, you're going to have some sunshine and you're going to have some rain. And what you need to do is don't get too excited in the one and don't despair in the other because neither one is here to last. But rather, use those experiences to enrich your life, to change your character, to develop godliness in your life. When things are going well, sing and shout and give God the glory and the praise. When trouble comes, throw your arms around Him, hang on tight, and learn something from the experience. It won't be long till the sun shines again. Amen. So let me give you these illustrations. I'm going to have to take this coat off. Glory to God, it's hot up here. If those things didn't make so much noise when you shut them off, I'd shut them off. But when you do, they howl. And I want you to hear me. Now, let me give you these three men by way of illustration to illustrate, if I can, the sunshine and the rain. And it's not like half your life is sunshine and half your life is rain. And so if you could get the rain over with, the rest of your life would be a blessing. Say, I'm afraid it's a little shower here and a little shower there and a little sunshine here and a little sunshine there. And they're all mixed up. And your whole life is just going to be a series of a little sunshine and a little rain, a little sunshine and a little rain. So you might as well just get used to climate changes. Amen. Learn to deal with it. Come to grips with it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, this first fellow I want us to look at for a minute, his name is Joseph. And he is a major player in the Bible. He's the greatest type of Christ in all of the Word of God. There's 151 points in which the life of Christ, Joseph matches the life of Jesus Christ. Now, a prominent Bible teacher says there's 153, but I checked him and I disagree. He's on 151. He's wrong about them other two. But be that as it may, he is the greatest type of Christ and plays a prominent role and occupies and takes up a great deal of space in your Bible. But I want you to look at his life. This little fellow was daddy's favorite son. He was the baby. Now, it's not right. You ought to love all them young'uns the same. You ought to treat them all the same. But I don't know anybody that does. There's something about when mama finds out she can't have any more and this is the last one, that's the cutest one. That's the sweetest one. That's the most special one. They just tug at your heart. He or she is my little baby. Amen. And while they try to treat them all the same and to try to be equal, and I believe most parents do if they got any sense, yet, if there's one lick left in that chocolate bowl, he gets it. Amen. Somehow, some way, they always end up with the extra or the special, or that's just the way it is. And you can argue about that if you want to. I'm here to tell you, I've been watching it for years and years and years, and that's how it are. Amen. Work at it, do the best you can, but if you got a whole bunch of them, one's going to be your favorite. Most of the time, the last one. Amen. Not always, but most of the time. Well, Joseph was the baby, and he was daddy's little boy. And daddy treated him differently than he treated the others. Now, he shouldn't have done that. I'd spent time on that. But he did. And it come time for a new wardrobe in the fall of the year, and he took all the boys down to Sears and Roebuck and bought them all jackets, and he bought all the same color. Got all, you know, every one of them was just alike. He didn't go down and let all the young'uns pick out what they wanted. You can't let young'uns pick out what they want. They ain't got no sense. Amen. Pick it out for them. Tell them they like it. They will. Amen. They'll like it a lot better than going cold. I'll tell you that. But he got down to that little old baby, and there was a special little jacket hanging there. And he picked that up and he put it on that little boy. And he was just so cute in that thing. It was members only. And so he made an exception for the one, and he bought that special coat. And so Joseph had his little coat of many colors, different than the other boys. And by the way, the other boys resented that. Amen. Daddy should have bought 12 of them just alike. But he didn't. And so Joseph is daddy's pick. He's the favorite. You think, boy, this boy's going to be born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His daddy's a wealthy man, a prominent man, a powerful man, and he's daddy's little fella. You think, boy, everything's going to go good in his life. I wish I could be born like him. I wish I had a daddy as rich as he is. I wish my daddy thought I was number one. I wish I was the one that was special. About that time, them older brothers of his sold him into slavery. Drug him out there in the bushes, throwed him down in the big old hole, covered it up, camouflaged it, put some net over it so the artillery and the satellites couldn't find him. Daddy gonna be looking for him. Daddy's a powerful man. He calls up the senators and the congress boy. That boy's missing. They're looking everywhere, but they can't find him. It's all camouflaged. He's down the hole. About that time, some Iraqis come, or I mean, some people come by on camel train. And they pull him up out of that thing and sell him into slavery. Now, just a minute ago, it was sunshine. A minute ago, it couldn't have gotten any better. Man, he's born into a wealthy home, born into a family with a great dad, born the last son, gotten special treatment, getting favors and all that kind of stuff. And boy, everybody said, oh, he's born with a silver spoon in his mouth. That kid's got it made. Then the rain came. Nobody wanted to swap places with him when he got sold into slavery. Nobody wanted to trade places with him when the rain came and he goes down into Egypt land. Amen. I'm here to tell you, buddy, if you live and breathe, you're going to have some good times. Things are going to go your way, but rain's on the way. I can tell you a forecast. If you're getting rained on now, the forecast is clearing and sunny. If you're in the sunshine, the forecast is cloudy with rain. Amen? It's only two forecasts there are. And so, Joseph is sold into slavery. Boy, he's had sunshine, now he's got rain. What? He's down there and he's in trouble. He's down in Egypt land. And boy, everybody despairs. Well, man, you get sold into slavery. That's going to be your lot for the rest of your life. This boy's going to be confined to the dungeon. He's going to be in trouble. He's never going to amount to anything. His life is over and wasted. But down there in the midst of the thunderstorm, while it's raining cats and dogs, you know what happens? He gets promoted in Potiphar's house. In the midst of all of his trouble, he's lost his mom and dad, lost his brothers. He's a slave down there. He's a prisoner down there. Yet God blessed in his adverse circumstances, and look who gets promoted over Potiphar's house. Well, the first thing you know, he's not treated like a slave at all. First thing you know, he's wearing nice clothes, eating three squares a day. Potiphar trusts him. Advances him and promotes him. Now he's living like a little king. Amen. This boy's like the CEO of some big corporation. Old Potiphar's out doing his thing, playing golf and riding all over the countryside and taking care of his biz jet and stuff, you know. Got a Gulfstream 2 out at the airport. I mean, everything is fine. And old Joseph back there, just fat, dumb, and happy, he said, well, it rained for a little while, but now, boy, the sun is shining. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've got it made from here on out. Then that sorry, good for nothing, low down Hamite wife of Potiphar's, holler rape. Now he wasn't guilty, but it's a lot of them charges. You know, you ain't got to be guilty. All you got to do is be accused. Amen. Guilty by accusation. This boy is squeaky clean. He's moral. He's ethical. He's principled. He's a good man. He's not about to do anything like that. He said, I can't betray my master and this great sin. So she goes and hollers, rape! Here comes the rain. He'd been in the sunshine. He'd been in the rain. It was sunshine again. He thought it was all over. He thought he had it all fixed. Everything was settled from here on out. Then trouble came from a place he wasn't looking for. It came in a way that he didn't expect. Amen. Don't you know that boy was shattered when they said, you're under arrest for the attempted rape of Potiphar's wife. He said, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Give me a break here. I wouldn't have touched that ugly woman in a million years. But she's married to a wealthy man, a rich man. You know whose word counted? Amen.
So what did they do? They took poor old Joseph,
throwed him down in the dungeon. Oh, he's sitting down there. He's saying, Lord, I don't understand it. It don't make a lick of sense to me. You know I was honest. You know I didn't cheat Potiphar. I never touched that woman. I said, good Lord, you know I didn't even look at that woman. Her handmaid maybe, but not at her. Some of y'all are sound asleep, I'm here to tell you. Anyway, they throwed him down there, and he's down there, he's sulking. He's despondent. He's not victorious anymore. He's not singing victory in Jesus. He's not singing, it'll be worth it all. He's down there singing the blues, cussing the day of his birth, wondering why in the world he has to have such bad luck. And what has he done to kick God off like that? He is in the midst of the rainy season. And he didn't deserve it. He didn't do anything to earn it. It just came. He didn't anticipate it. He wasn't looking for it. He didn't expect it. But it came, and he got to deal with it.
Amen.
Well, it's not too long. God works things out. Circumstances change. They come get old Joseph and bring him up there and introduce him to Pharaoh. And God moves behind the scenes, and that's the way God almost always moves. Quietly, mysteriously, softly, gently. But God moves. Everybody's sitting around looking for the lightning bolts to come down and the thunder to rattle. That ain't God's method. God's a behind-the-scenes player. But He's there. And God moves in circumstances. God moves in lives. God works it out so that old Joseph gets promoted. And before you know it, he is still a young man, and he is the second ruler in the kingdom. The sun's out. Amen? Sun's out, boy. Things are going Joe's way. He's singing, zippity-doo-dah, what a beautiful day. My, oh my. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. Say, why? The sun's out. Now, life is like that. Life is up and down. Life is good and bad. God, life is breaks and life is no breaks. Life is sunshine and life is rain. And you better get used to it. People get to this point where when things are good, they get overly excited and make a fool out of themselves and thinking that it's going to be that way forever. And then when things go bad and things come up they're not looking for or don't expect, they think God gave them a raw deal. They don't deserve it. They get angry. They want to quit. I'm here to tell you, God used those things to make Joseph one of the great men in the Word of God. And God will take the experiences in your life, the good ones and the bad ones. God can take the divorce. God can take the cancer. God can take the sickness. God can take the disappointment. God can take the failure and make something out of you. Develop your character. Enhance your integrity. Make you a real man. Make you a real woman. But you can't quit just because it's raining. Let me tell you what to do when it rains. Put on a raincoat. Amen. It was raining the other day, and we do heat and air conditioning. And the mechanics come in there, it was raining. I said, here's two choices. I can't make the rain go away, and I can't make the work go away. You've got two options. You can go home, or you can put on your raincoat. Amen? When the rain comes, you've got two options. Let it defeat you, put on a raincoat.
Amen.
Let it get you down, give up on it, go and soak. Suck your little butt. Or stand up like a man, stand up like a woman. Deal with it.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of talking to people. Say, I just can't deal with it. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. You don't have any choice.
Yeah.
You don't have any choice. That's the game you're in. That's your race. You got to run it. I can't run it for you. Your neighbor can't run it for you. That's what you got dealt. That's what you got to play. You better figure out some way to deal with it and make something worthwhile out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Let it ruin you. Ruin your rest of your life. You give in. You get despondent in the rainy season. You won't be worth killing when the sunshine comes out.
Amen.
Then this fellow Job. Everybody knows the story of Job. I don't know how Job managed to get rich. I don't know the history of his early days and where he found his wife and all that kind of stuff. The story just picks up. He's a middle-aged to older man, house full of young'uns. They're already grown and married, living on their own. His wife is with him. And he is held in reputation and high esteem for his character, his integrity. He is looked up to and respected because of his wealth. Now, by the way, sometimes you got to be careful looking up to folks because they got money or fame or reputation. Some of them are the sorriest human beings that ever drew a breath.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyway, Job is looked up to and he's respected and held in high esteem. When you pick up the story of Job, there in Job, in the early part of Job, you say, boy, this fellow's got everything. We forget how hard he must have worked to get it. There's no indication that he inherited it. I don't know that Job was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I got a feeling that old Job worked hard and was a wise man, invested well, had insider trading information or something, but that he got ahead. And he's doing well for himself. You say, boy, I wish God would bless me like He blessed Job. I'd be careful. I'd be careful about asking for what somebody else has got or looking at other folks and saying, oh, their life is so perfect. I've had occasion over the years to talk to various people that people tend to look up to. I know a lot of gospel singers. I've been going to gospel singings for over 30 years. I've met a lot of them personally and talked to them or listened to their testimonies. And you'd be amazed at what some of those people have been through.
Amen.
You say, oh, they can just sing like a bird and they just go out and sing in front of these crowds all the time. They just live this wonderful life. How many of y'all know who the Greens are? The oldest Green boy has spent every dime he'll ever make and then some because he got a fungus, a mold in his brain. There's been like 50 operations. He's almost died countless number of times. At one time, his family was having to give him $10,000 a day cash to pay for the treatment he was receiving. Oh, you see him up on the stage. So, oh, God blessed him. And oh, what a beautiful voice. What a nice family. What a lovely wife. And what a great way to live. Listen, he got sunshine and rain just like you did.
Amen.
There used to be a group. What's that girl that sang, "You're the Salt of the Earth"? The Chandlers. She's a pretty little girl, and she's the lead singer for the group. Sings with her mom and dad, and they sing kind of a country gospel. And you think, boy, what a nice family, and raised by a Christian mom and dad, and never been out in sin, and all this, that, and the other. You ought to hear her testimony. She was born with severe scoliosis, with a severe curving of the spine. Been through all kinds of surgeries and stuff, just so she could stand up straight. And she's in constant pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yes, she gets up there and sings about the glory of God and gives Him praise and honor. You know what she did? When it rained on her life, she put on the raincoat. She didn't let it defeat her. She didn't quit. She just toughed up and kept on going and kept on going. And here we got all these little folks. The least little thing comes along, little sickness, a little tragedy, a little mishap, and they want to throw in the towel and they want to quit. I'm here to tell you, God sends the rain and the sunshine, and it takes both to develop you and mature you and turn you into something worthwhile. And if you quit in the process, God's just weeding out the bad apples. Before you know it, you hadn't gone a dozen verses in Job chapter 1, and the devil is on Job, and all of Job's children are dead. All of his money is gone. His wife is backslid and turned on him. He is covered from head to foot with sores. None of his friends want anything to have to do with him. Boy, he went from the sunshine to the rain just like that. Wasn't looking for it. Wasn't expecting. Listen, old Job was living right. That old boy wasn't sneaking around. There wasn't no secret sin. He didn't have a mistress someplace. He wasn't no dope head. He wasn't cheating nobody. Job was an honest man of character and integrity. Job was out there taking care of the poor, praying for his children, faithful to his wife, and giving God the honor and glory. And trouble came anyway. You know what Job said? He said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me." His wife said, "Curse God and die." He said, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked I returned thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And God pours it on, and the devil pours it on, and man, it's getting really bad. And Job's sitting out there on the scrap heap, scratching his sores and stuff. You think, man, why don't Job just give in and be done with it? He could have. And most folks have said, I don't blame him. God treat me like that, I'd quit too. But Job didn't quit. You know what Job said? When it got right to the worst, when it got to where it just almost wasn't bearable anymore, Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Boy, old Job had the right attitude. He said, "It's raining now. It's tough now. It's awful now. I'm in agony now. I'm suffering now. But the sun is going to come out. This is not the end. This is not the way I'll finish up. I'm going to hang on to God. I will trust him in the dark times and in the storm and in the trials and in the tribulation. I'll not turn my back on God." Amen. You ever read Job 42? The sun came out. Job's got his kids back. He's got his money back. He's got his health back. God just used that to enrich Job's character, to develop him for God. That's what God uses trouble in your life for. People say that. Well, the preeminent question is, why do the righteous suffer? Why do they suffer? They suffer to develop them. They suffer to grow them. They suffer to mature them. They suffer to teach them. They suffer to transform them. God uses all those things, the good things and the bad things, to mix them and mold them and shape, to make you what God wants you to be. And Job never would. You never would have read chapter 42 if Job had quit back in Job chapter 19. You only got 42 because of 19. If he had quit, you never would have heard of him. But he stood strong and he stayed true and he held on to God. And God brought him out on the other side. And he went from sunshine to rain to sunshine. The secret is, don't quit in the valley. Don't quit in the storm. Don't quit when it's raining. Hang on, hang on. Dr. Jack Hiles used to say, never, never, never make a life-changing decision in the valley. Don't change your way of looking at things. Don't change your way of living in the rain. It's good advice. You'll make the wrong decision in the rain. Now, the third fellow was a man named David. David is the king. If you run over Matthew chapter 1 sometime and read that, And it lists all them kings and stuff down. I think there's 28 of them or something like that. And he gets down to David and it said, David the king. David is singled out. He is separate. He is different. He is exalted above all the other kings. As far as God was concerned, there wasn't but one. David the king. He is a special person in the Word of God. He occupies a preeminent place over in the prophets. He writes most of the Psalms and part of the Proverbs. He is a very prominent person in the Word of God. But did you ever look at his life? Now, different from Joseph and different from Job, David was not born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was born to a poor old sheep herder named Jesse. Jesse had a 1951 Chevrolet pickup. Now, you know he was poor and God hadn't blessed him, because if God loved him, he'd have had a Ford. Amen. And Jesse got about 10 or 12 little old sheep out there and a little old rocky piece of ground and having to buy water off the neighbors, you know, and got no water on his land. I mean, it's just awful. They're just poor folk scratching out a living. Got all them young. I think he had about 7 or 8. Big old family. Man, it takes a lot of bread and beans to feed that many young'uns. I think Jesse was glad when the war come along. A whole bunch of them boys went off to war. He didn't have to feed them. Amen. Ain't nobody left there but David. He's a scrawny little fella. The Bible said he was of a ruddy complexion. He wasn't exactly upsetting the high school girls. He could walk down the corridor any day, you know, and not get that tough life. He wasn't born with advantages. He's born poor. He's not going to have opportunities that Joseph had. He didn't get born with that silver spoon. He's not going to drive a brand new Camaro to high school. He'd be lucky to get to ride a bicycle to school and back. He's not going to spend the summers down at the YMCA swimming and having a good old time. He's going to be down at Piggly Wiggly bagging groceries. Amen? He said, boy, he just born into a bad circumstance. Yeah, he born in the rain. He wasn't, didn't look like he was particularly blessed, did he? You know what happened? He didn't let it upset him. The sheep out there and the lion comes, he kills the lion. The bear comes, he kills the bear. Now, he's a nobody. He doesn't come from a big old family. But this boy's got character. He's got guts. He's got grits. I mean, he could have... You know what grits means? I saw a bumper sticker the other day that said, I love grits. Girls raised in the South. I said, yes. Anyway. back to David here. David's got character about him. He don't know how bad off he is. Everybody he knows lives like he does. I remember when I was a little boy, you know, we were just dirt poor. But I didn't know that. I didn't know we lived in a shack. Everybody I knew lived in a shack. I thought that's all anybody had. Amen. I was happy as a bug in a rug. I didn't learn to become dissatisfied until I got grown and saw there was better. Amen. David was happy as he could be, man. He's out there on the hillside watching them stinking sheep, playing his fiddle or his harp, whatever it was he had, writing songs and having a good old time. He's singing Southern gospel back before there was a Southern. Amen? His bad circumstance, the fact that he was born under a cloud, didn't seem to bother David any. He just learned how to live with it, and he thought that's the way it was. And then one day, he goes to fight the giant. Now, what he did, he went down to there, you know, to take food and all to his brothers and pick up their pledge. I don't know if you noticed that part, but the reason he went down there and he gave 10 clusters of raisins or whatever it was to the captain of the host and took their pledge. That's their paycheck. They got paid to fight. And he's taking the money home to daddy. Amen. He's using them kids to make a living. That's what Samantha's going to do. Now he got down there and the giant's there, and everybody knows the story, and I don't spend a lot of time on it. He gets his slingshot out, gets him 5 smooth river rocks, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He puts Leviticus in the sling and kills the giant. Amen? Boy, he's a national hero. The sun has come out. The king says, kill the giant. I'll give you my daughter. I don't know whether it was a good move or not, but that was the promise. Amen. David kills the giant. He's going to be marrying into the king's family. He said, boy, that boy's got it made now. Things are going to be different now, buddy. Ain't going to be 1951 Chevrolet pickup. We went driving us a Lexus. Sun's coming out. Well, and it did. David, boy, he was a national hero, and they were singing his songs. And they sang, David has slain his thousand, Saul has slain his thousand, and David his 10,000s. And his new father-in-law got mad as the devil and said, what more can he have but the kingdom? And from that day forward, Saul sought to slay David. Raining again. I'll tell you what, buddy, that was a short stretch of sunshine. It seemed like David just had trouble on top of trouble. Just about he'd get in a rainy situation, a stormy situation, and God would give him just a little break of sunshine. His clothes didn't even get dried out, and he was in trouble again. You look at the life of David, and boy, he had trouble with Saul, then he had trouble with Absalom, and he had trouble. Every time you turned around, David was in a mess. Some of it his doing, some of it somebody else is doing. He got himself in that scrape with Bathsheba and all that mess. He did that to himself. But his life was up and down and up and down. You say, boy, it seemed like he had more than his fair share of trouble. If you ever read about this, the Bible said David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. And yet he had as much or more trouble than anybody else in the Bible. He was not exempted from the sunshine and the rain routine just because he loved God, just because he could write beautiful songs, not just because he could play an instrument, not just because he gave all the glory to God. He had to go through the same trials and troubles and tribulations that everybody else did. And if you live and breathe, you are going to have them. What you better do while you can and while the sun is shining, make up your mind what you're going to do when the rain comes. Get you a rain bonnet, get you a rain snicker, get you some goulashers or whatever they are, and get ready when the rain comes out. Just wait out the storm, ride out the storm, stay in the valley, stick it out, don't quit, don't get mad, don't get angry, and God will bring you out in the sunshine on the other side if you'll just stay with Him.
Amen. Last week, we got a phone call from Connecticut. My wife's sister had fallen down and started to bleed profusely all over the place. They rushed her to the hospital. Blood pressure was so low they thought maybe she might die. Didn't know exactly what was wrong with her. Started doing a bunch of tests. Found out she had cancer. She got very advanced cancer of the stomach. And cancer in her colon. Nobody had a clue. Nobody suspected it. And so, the dad, Don McCraven, got on the phone, called all of his children, told them all, Mama's sick, she's in the hospital, and she's got cancer.
And we don't know how bad it is. Boy, they went all to pieces. There's a squalling and a bawling and crying. You see, 2 seconds before that phone rang, it was sunshiny. And without warning, and from a direction totally unexpected, the rain came. That's the way life is. You can't anticipate all the bad. You have no idea how your life's going to go tomorrow. It is amazing to me how just 24 hours can change the course of or the direction of our lives forever. One day you can be in the slough of despond and not have a clue in this world how you're going to get by, how you're going to make ends meet, how you're going to live with this tragedy. And God opens a door and the sunshine floods through and God brings deliverance. And all of a sudden you found a way to live with it. Not only to live with it, to prosper with it. So what are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm saying this. Whether it's the sunshine or the rain, you stay with God. You hang in there. You give God the glory when the sun is out, and you hang on to God and beg for mercy when it rains. But you never turn loose of God.
Amen.
I have four observations, and we'll go home. I spent more time on this than I planned. Here's four things you need to learn. You got to write these down. Number one, neither the sunshine nor the rain is here to stay. That ought to be one of the fundamental lessons you learn in life. It ain't always going to be good, and it's not always going to be bad. Life is certainly a mixture. Number two, it takes sunshine and rain to grow a crop. If you got nothing but sunshine, the corn burns up in the field. You get too much rain, and the taters rot in the mounds. It takes sunshine and rain. Learn to thank God for both. Learn to trust God in both. Learn to stay close to God in both. Last but not least, remember this. God is the gardener, and it is His desire to grow you. It's not His desire to kill you. It's not His desire to stunt you. It's the desire of God to grow. He wants to see you mature. He wants to see you develop. He wants you to be a better woman. He wants you to be a better man. He wants you to have more character. He wants you to have more strength. He wants you to have more resolve. He wants you to have more faith tomorrow than you had today. And so God works in our lives to develop. Let's not get angry. Let's not get bitter. Let's not quit just because we don't understand things. We don't know why this happened. Trust God. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Just by you. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy.